It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Well, often, Paul, you give us the scoop, and sometimes you are the scoop, but thanks again for joining us on this final Friday of Football Fridays on FM Talk 106.5. We appreciate it a lot, man, all season long.
It's been a great season. Not really much going on all year, so I'm glad we could gather every single Friday morning to educate
It has given us a fantastic storyline to run alongside the football season as we've talked to you every week. So at the very least, thanks for that. But
What was it, the crux of the decision not to run for the Senate, to stay in SEC talk rather than do that? Was it basically, can I boil it down to John in St. Louis? Was he the one caller that kept you pining for the show?
Yeah, I frankly thought that as screwed up as Congress is, my help was needed far more in trying to straighten college football out. So, I mean, and to be honest, which of course all politicians are, Lane Kiffin was the tipping point. I saw how disingenuous he was, and I couldn't be the same person, so I had to stay where I am.
Well, I want to say that storyline came to an end, but with Kiffin, it never really has. He, of course, ends up at LSU. He won't be coaching Ole Miss in the playoff, which it looks like they're going to be in after those last CFP rankings.
Yeah, they're in.
And you've already said probably a million plus words on it just in the last couple of days, Paul. But what's your final thoughts here as he's chosen LSU?
Well, I think it's a remarkable moment in time in college football where a coach would abandon his team after its greatest accomplishment in 60 years. But you say, how could that happen? Well, we're talking about Lane Kiffin here, who there are no rules, there are no boundaries. He keeps making it up as he goes along. And one thing that's always sure about Lane Kiffin, whatever house he built, he manages to burn down on the way out of town.
He does, and it's almost like LSU fans, just hang on for a couple of years. Your time to hate the hell out of Lane Kiffin is coming. It's not now, but it's on the way.
Yeah, I mean, the fiercest arguments at the end of a bar in the future will be between Ole Miss fans and Tennessee fans, and which fan base hates Lane Kiffin the most.
Yeah. That's a lot of hate the other day I saw at the airport.
At the airport, they were throwing up the middle fingers, but that's nothing new for Kiffin on an airport tarmac. But, you know, as I was watching Ole Miss fans discuss this and whether he'd leave or not, so many of them were saying, well, now's the time anyway, because with the way we have this program running now, we can get any coach we want. They end up with Pete Golding. Is he going to be a winner? Is he the slam dunk hire that Ole Miss fans would have liked after Kiffin leaves?
I'm not even sure there's some average 4A high schools in Alabama that would have hired Pete Golden as the head coach. So therein lies your answer. That was perhaps the biggest surprise of the week, that Ole Miss decided, why waste the money on going out and hiring a coach? He's probably going to get fired anyway. So let's just elevate Pete Golden. A year from now, we can fire him and start all over again.
Kind of feels that way, a little bit like what happened down the road in Starkville, too. And as far as Mississippi, I wanted to bring this up real quick. We could talk about Ole Miss, how you think they'll do without Kiffin on campus. But what do you think about Auburn's hire? I'm not opposed to it. Dalton, you know a little bit more about Coach Golish than I do.
Well, yeah, as a Tennessee fan, watching Golish do his work with that Malik Hooker offense back in Tennessee, or Hendon Hooker, I'm sorry, I always say Malik. Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt and Cedric Tillman, I mean, after that, Tennessee's offense hasn't looked the same, but I don't know whether to attribute that
personnel
to the quarterbacks or what it may be. I do know Golish has quite the offensive scheme. I guess it's the rest of the part of being an SEC coach we don't know about.
Yeah, I think he looks the part and he sounds the part, quite frankly.
Yeah, he does.
I like what I heard. I think it's a good hire. No, not the one. Nobody got the guy they really thought they were going to get, other than maybe LSU. But ultimately, they did pretty well there. I mean, Summerall was the favored nation guy, but you know, he didn't like what was going on. But I mean, winning the press conference doesn't really matter a lot, but this guy nailed the press conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really did. Let's talk a little bit about those games from last week, rivalry week, and really some great ones. And why not start with the Iron Bowl, even though it was kind of the last of the weekend? Had me enthralled from the very beginning to the very end. Auburn put up such a heck of a fight. I hated seeing Cam Coleman go down the way he did and losing the ball there at the end. But if I were an Auburn fan, I know it's tough to handle with the loss, but I really thought they put up a heck of an effort.
Yeah, unfortunately, the game just got overshadowed by everything that happened afterwards. But it was just so typical of every Auburn game this year that they just came up short. But Auburn came out of it okay. Alabama ended up getting credit for some reason. I have no idea, how the committee really liked what they saw. So don't tell the committee that Auburn lost to Kentucky in the same stadium 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, for Auburn fans, you cannot, I don't know. I mean, you can't ask that fan base to feel good about their team after another excruciating loss. You know, I mean, you can only take so much in one season.
Yeah, and it was not as bad as the last two Iron Bowls in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So what it basically did is cost DJ Durkin any chance of getting the head coaching position, which he may or may not have gotten anyway. He got the second best job. He's a coordinator. Alabama, Kalen DeBoer got a big win. Had he lost that game, he might have been at Penn State today. So I think it all works out pretty well.
Instead, Penn State can't find anyone, which is another story. But with the CFP rankings that came out, they moved Texas up quite a bit after that necessary but good win over Texas A&M. And I know Texas beat Vanderbilt earlier in the year, but you look at Vanderbilt these last 3 weeks, especially with the second half that Pavia had against Tennessee, where he just was dominant, just as he's been for the last month. I know he's putting letters out to Trump asking for an executive order to get the Commodores in the playoff, but Texas moves ahead of them. They have the head-to-head win, but they have 3 losses compared to Vanderbilt's 2 losses.
Yeah.
What'd you make of that kind of ranking? It doesn't look like Vanderbilt's going to be able to get in.
Yeah, they're not. And by the way, I've already gone to the president in case Alabama loses Saturday.
You did, so yes.
I beat Pavia to the punch. And Alabama is a little more red than even Tennessee, so I'm going to win that one. It's too bad, but, Vanderbilt played two reasonably decent names in non-conference games. But they got no credit for either one because both teams were terrible. So ultimately, they lost the 2 games they needed to win. They needed to beat either Alabama or Texas, and they couldn't do it. So, beating Tennessee's nice, but Tennessee's, a 4-loss team now?
Yeah.
That really doesn't do you much good.
Do you think he did enough, certainly, to get to New York, but could Pavia be the Heisman winner after these last 3 or 4 games?
I would be surprised. I mean, he'd probably get my vote, but I think the fact that Sam and Mendoza are playing in theory the biggest game of the year, it doesn't feel like it to me, but it is, a 1-versus-2 matchup. I just don't think unless they both are just pedestrian and terrible, which is hard to imagine, I don't think Pavia can get enough votes to win.
So you say your Heisman vote will go to Pavia?
At the moment. Now, being a politician like I have for the last 3 months, it can be bought.
Pavia family, they might not have had the money to buy it off earlier, but by now they should, unless they've spent it all on bail money. Right?
And Dalton called this one. The Pavia Mafia was coming into town to Vandy, and he told me last week, he said, one of them's going to get arrested before the game. I think it happened.
It did happen in the game. Yeah, one of the Pavia brothers put in handcuffs. So we'll look forward to that at whatever bowl game they end up in later this year. All right, so conference championship week this week, Alabama and Georgia. First time they've played, right? No, they play every year in Atlanta. What do you expect this weekend?
I don't know why I said Sunday I thought Alabama would win. Of course, that's when I was still a candidate for the Senate, so I was just saying that to my, but all kidding aside, I think you have to go with Alabama every time they play Georgia. And everybody knows the record, but how many? It just doesn't make sense to go with Kirby Smart against Alabama. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, take it from a Georgia guy here. Georgia, is there an Alabama thing there? Seems like there is to me. And Smart is a great coach. They're a very good team. They've improved a lot this season, but I could not blame anybody. And I think at this point, Georgia's 2.5 or 3.5 point favorite, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty insignificant line. Yeah. I think that this game will be determined by injuries. So there's already been a number to both schools. I mean, Georgia lost at center, which is a big deal.
Yep.
The thing I hate about the SEC game is that even by winning, you often lose. Last year, Georgia lost Carson Beck. 2 years ago, Alabama lost its two receivers. Mm-hmm. Or a couple of years maybe beyond that, but it always seems to be a casualty because it's such a brutal game. You have the two best teams, and you're playing now the 13th game, and that's really what I don't like about this game, as much of a spectacle as it is.
And neither offense lighting the field on fire right now. The Georgia Tech game was kind of overlooked, yeah. But Dan, you watched the Georgia offense wasn't able to do anything.
Yeah, they talk about Gunnar Stockman as this great outdoorsman, Paul, and I told Dalton that, yeah, he played like he'd just fallen out of a tree stand and hit every limb on the way down. He had he had a terrible game against Georgia Tech. It was almost like he was playing with amnesia. He forgot everything.
Yeah, hard to explain. I think it was interesting once the center went out, he did seem lost.
Yeah.
That center's still going to be out Saturday, yep. So roll tide.
Thank you, Paul.
There you go.
Great insight every single week here, and we appreciate you coming on for Football Fridays with Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, and we'll do this again next year. How's that sound?
I can't wait. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
There you go, Paul Feinbaum. He's going to stick in there with the SEC Network. Is the SEC Network and ESPN going to stay side by side with Paul? That's what he was kind of...
Yeah, good question.
Referring there as we...
How are the feelings?
Yeah, anybody got any hurt feelings in Bristol, Connecticut? I don't know. And it wasn't so much his possible run, but we made that announcement.
Yeah, we'll do some more talk coming up. Mobile Mornings, get on the line, 251-343-0106 as we open up the text lines on this Friday. And what do you think about those conference championship games? Don't forget, get your picks in for the Pick'em Pool. We're coming to the end this week. More Mobile Mornings on the way next.